Well, open your Bibles this morning. We are in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1. And I began a new sermon series 2 weeks ago. And the sermon series is simply called Jesus. And for the next 11 weeks, over the course of summer, we're going to be looking at Jesus from the angle of the titles that he had or the roles that he played. You'll remember 2 weeks ago I started by saying, Jesus is our prayer leader. And we used one of the parables that Jesus had, and we really discovered that Jesus wants us to pray very specifically. He's calling us to ask him specifically for some things and to avoid kind of that lazy, lackadaisical prayer and to really kind of lean into what it is we're asking God to do. And I know some of you are challenged by that. I know I was. We're going to, in the coming weeks, learn about things like titles like shepherd or vine or door. Today, we're going to start with a title that was very common with Jesus, and it was the title given to him, which was rabbi. We all are in this graduation weekend. We're thinking a lot about school right now. I know I am. I've been to graduation parties. And I'm thinking just about the role of teachers in the lives of my kids as well as in my own life. And I challenge you right now to think about the best teacher that you ever had. Was it a teacher perhaps in elementary school? Was it a teacher perhaps in high school? Maybe even it was a teacher or a professor in college, but there's somebody who's kind of left a mark with you. And I had one that really came to my mind this weekend, and it was my freshman high school English teacher, Mrs. Pierre. She was a no-nonsense English teacher that, much to the chagrin of all the students, taught grammar. And I hated that at the time. But she was the one who taught me the difference between a noun and a verb. She taught me the difference between an adjective and an adverb, between a gerund and an infinitive. And still to this day, I can carry that forward and say, thank you, Mrs. Pierre. I did not like you at the time, but I really appreciate you now. There's one teacher I felt most sorry for, and it was Mr. Tice in my fifth grade. Mr. Tice was a first-year teacher, and he came into class and lost control on the first day and never regained it back. And you know, kids in the fifth grade, especially young boys in the fifth grade, they can be a pack of wolves. And they were, and we were. And you know, that was just a kind of a flush year. I mean, it was just like, wow, I'm not sure anything got done because there was just chaos in the classroom. I don't wish that, obviously, on anybody. Well, today we're thinking about teaching and about the role of teaching in our lives, about special teachers that have been with us. And Jesus, of course, is known as a teacher, but he gets the title that's beyond teacher. He gets the title, which is rabbi. And the Gospels are the short stories about Jesus' life, four of them. And repeatedly in the Gospels, Jesus is given this title of rabbi. I have one example of that. It's in John chapter 1, verse 38. Jesus is with Andrew and Peter, two of his future would-be disciples. And this is the way it's recorded. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, there it is, rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? And so this title of Jesus is handed out. And it's handed out pretty frequently in the Gospels. In fact, the book of John, where we are right now, uses it 8 times. So 8 times Jesus has said, you're the rabbi, or they say, rabbi, tell us such and such. Jesus records that John records that Jesus is this rabbi. And what they mean by that is he's this mentor teacher. He's this one that is among his disciples, and he's constantly teaching them about real life. And of course, the fact that Jesus is a good teacher, that's no surprise to us because people hung on his every word. They followed him around. They chased him down even when he was trying to get away because his teaching was so salient. However, we have a mental model of what a teacher is, and therefore that might get in the way of what Jesus was as a teacher or Jesus was as a rabbi. When I think of teacher today, maybe you do too, I think about the person in the classroom that's helping my kids learn how to do reading or English or math. Or I'm thinking about the teacher on the playground that's making sure there's, you know, safety on the playground. I'm thinking in terms of somebody that I send my kids to and therefore they are educated by those people. And that's what it really hits my mind. Rabbi is a different term. Rabbi has a depth to it that is different than the way we think about teachers today. A rabbi is somebody who had a quality of teaching and a quality of life that people wanted to learn from, and that's the reason that they went to this rabbi. Now, again, rabbi is a very common term today. It's designated as a religious leader who's a Jew or part of somebody who's part of Judaism. And today, you have to go to school to get that, maybe 4 or 5 years of education. You have to have academic programs and internships and life experience. And I looked up this weekend, I did not know this, but in order to be a certified rabbi today, you have to live in Israel at least 1 year. And so there's all these requirements. And that's a fairly modern thing about a rabbi. And so if we went and judged Jesus by that, we would say, well, you know, he doesn't qualify as a rabbi because he didn't have all that. Well, back in the day, you got the title because you had the life. It's not because you had a certain quality of training. You had the life. You were the teacher, and people recognized that you had an authority or a quality about you, and therefore they wanted to be with you and give you that title, rabbi. And of course, Jesus was given that title by his followers and those who were around him. Well, today I want to get into this title of rabbi. And at first glance, you might say, big deal. So Jesus is a rabbi. He's known as a teacher. What difference does that really have to make? I think there's a lot of difference it has to make. And if we explore this title of rabbi, there's some things we're going to learn about our own walk with God as a result of it. So let's find out the importance of this title, rabbi. First, the title rabbi means that Jesus is qualified. He's not some kind of a hack. He doesn't have a TikTok channel that's made him famous. No, he's a rabbi who teaches well, and he's leading a life that is above reproach. In a word, Jesus has authority. And this begins all the way back with Jesus when he is a young boy. You know, we do not have many stories about Jesus when he is a child or a young man, but we have one of them, and it's at 12 years old. Let me remind you of the story. Mary and Joseph take Jesus and they go to Jerusalem for a holiday, which was a common thing. Everybody from all over Israel walked and made their way to Jerusalem for the holiday. And then they turned around in a big group. They left and went back home to Nazareth in this case. Well, they are on this big group. They're leaving and they look on the road and they're like, I thought Jesus was with you. I thought he was with you. Oh my, he is in this big group. We've lost him, and so we don't know where he is. So we've got to retrace our steps and go back and find out how we've lost Jesus. They make their way back, and of course they find him, many of you know the story, at the temple. And he's engaging with the religious leaders at the temple. I found a picture I really love. Here it is of what it might have looked like back in the day. I would look very hard to find out who painted that picture, and I don't know who did it. But I just thought, man, that really just speaks so much about what that moment might have been like when Mary and Joseph came onto the scene and found out that Jesus was with the religious leaders. Here's the way that Luke records it. I love the way he tells us about that moment. It says, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us like this? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you and been in great distress. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I'd be here in my father's house? And so Jesus, at this age even of 12, is demonstrating that he's got this authority, he's got this teaching ability, this connection with God, and that's recognized at a very young age. Rabbi means a title of honor, and so people are recognizing the authority that he has, and they're putting this title on him, which is rabbi, because they recognize this about his life. Second, as rabbi, he calls us to follow. And to fully understand what this means and why this is important, we need to understand how education happened in the early world. So education happened, first of all, religious education, first of all, happened at the synagogue. And so if you went to the synagogue, much like you come to church service today, but in synagogue time, you would go, the scriptures were read, there was prayer, there was something that was an explanation of the scriptures, much like what we do. And so that was available to everybody. But if you were kind of an exceptional person who had memorized much of the Bible, then you would look around you and you would say, who are the rabbis or who are the ones that have deeper wisdom and knowledge? And I would like to find out one that I would like to attach myself to. And so you would look around and you would say, oh, there's this rabbi. And you would go up and say, may I follow you? And if he said, yes, you may follow me, then you are going to now dedicate much of your life in order to learn about the rabbi, learn about his ways of life, and you are going to begin to attempt to emulate that. Now, here's the thing you need to understand. Only the best and brightest did that. Not everybody did that. Not everybody went and found a rabbi. You found a rabbi if you kind of were already of the liking of that. You maybe had memorized, again, much of the Bible. And in this case, it would be the Old Testament. You memorized much of that. And so you went, and if you had the pedigree, then you could ask the rabbi, can I follow you? Now, you always risked that the rabbi would say, you don't know enough. You're a hick. Ain't no way you're going to follow me. Go get some more, go get some more learning and then come back to me. So it was always a possibility that there had to be a mutual chemistry in the making of that rabbi and his future disciples. Jesus turns all of this on its head. And for those of you who've read the scriptures, you know what I'm about to say. Jesus doesn't wait for people to come to him and say, follow me, or can I follow you? Jesus goes to people and says to them, follow me. And this is the way that Jesus goes about it. He is the one that's choosing individuals, not the other way around. And Jesus is not choosing the Bible all-stars. He's not choosing the kids that were the head of the class at Sunday school. He is choosing the commoners. And he's choosing the guys that are the fishermen. He's choosing guys that have, well, let's face it, careers that are way out of bounds, tax collectors like Matthew. And he's saying, I'm not going for the best and the brightest. I'm going for the ordinary folks, and those are going to be the people that follow me. Ordinary, everyday people like you and me, simple people, but who have a desire to know and follow God. And here's a passage that reminds us of this fact. It's in the book of Acts. So Jesus has now died, resurrected, and ascended, and his disciples are going out and sharing in the world about Jesus and his resurrection. Peter and John are teaching near the temple area, and everybody's getting all stirred up because they're talking about the resurrection. So they're hauled in before the religious authority known as the Sanhedrin. And this is Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Here's what it says. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled. So they're the ordinary guys. They're the guys that probably never should have been chosen. Ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Jesus, the rabbi, he is the one who chooses common people to be his disciples. He's the one that says, I see something on the inside of you. I see what you can become. I see what I can make of you. And ordinary people become instruments in the hands of God because Jesus calls them to be his own. Let's find out what happens. After Jesus calls, let's find out what happens in the life of individuals. This is number three. Third, Jesus as rabbi leads us through ongoing relationship. If you were a disciple, it doesn't mean you spend a few hours a day with your teacher in this ancient context. It doesn't mean that you went and had a few hours with the teacher and they went to the chalkboard and they tried to deliver something to you. No, you are now going to spend time with this person. You are going to go with your rabbi everywhere he went. You're going to eat meals with him. You are going to watch him interact with individuals. You were going to watch him get in heated conversations. You were going to ask him to have tenderness and compassion. In Jesus' case, as he was healing people, In other words, you're going to sleep together, you're going to eat together, you're going to walk together, you're going to be joined at the hip. And that's something that is endemic to this idea of being a rabbi and a disciple. I learned something else this week I hadn't known. And if you were a rabbi, you had what was known as a yoke of teaching or a yoke of wisdom that you were giving to your disciples. Some of you know about what a yoke is, but I want to remind everybody again. I've got a picture of some animals that are yoked together. And a yoke is this wooden instrument that is put onto animals. And then behind that, there's a piece of wood off the back of it. It could be a plow or it could be a cart that they pull together. But it's the way to join two animals in unison so that they can do work or do life, as it were, together, pulling together. You always had one animal that was better trained than the other, and the other animal just learned by being yoked together with the smarter, wiser, more experienced animal. Jesus is saying this to us: I have a yoke, and I am yoking you to me. And we are spending now time together, and I am imparting something to you. I am imparting my yoke of wisdom to you as we are now, welded together in this way. Jesus himself talks about the yoke that he has, and it's very different than the yoke of the religious leaders at the time. This is Jesus talking about his yoke, Matthew chapter 11. Here it is, if you give me the next slide. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And at that time, if you were a religious leader, you were constantly handing out all kinds of things that people had to do and people had to experience in order to be able to be complete. And Jesus is saying, my yoke is a light one. I'm going to yoke you to me, and you'll follow me, and there's going to be transformation, but you're going to find out I'm very different as a leader and as a rabbi. And so Jesus is telling us something about our union with him. Friends, there is no substitute today in learning about Jesus, being yoked with Jesus, and being in the scriptures, especially the gospels, the four stories about Jesus. There's no way to know who the real Jesus is if you're not in the scriptures very regularly and you're reading and you're taking that in. And here's a concern of mine today. A concern of mine today is that much of our world is operating on a caricature of Jesus, but it's not the real Jesus. It's not the Jesus that was at least explained in the scriptures. It's a Jesus that is kind of their own making. And so you hear people say, well, my Jesus, fill in the blank. Well, my Jesus would never send anybody to hell. Well, my Jesus just accepts everybody as they are. Well, my Jesus, and fill in the blank. And I'm concerned about that. I'm worried about that, because the thing that could come to your mind may be a far cry from who Jesus really is, and especially who he's explained to be in the scriptures. And so we have to be individuals who are back and saying, I'm not going to inform who Jesus is. I'm going to learn who Jesus is, and I'm going to go to the scriptures to learn that, and I'm going to find out who the real Jesus is in that way, and that's the one that I want the ongoing relationship with as my rabbi. He's changing me. I'm going along with him rather than he's going along with me, and so again, we have to get that straight in our heads. Well, I have one more thing. It's number four on my list, and I've left the important for last. With Jesus as our rabbi, it is not enough to know things. We must actually become like him. Jesus had the role of rabbi, which meant that he was a teacher. But even more than that, he was trying to impart a certain pattern of life. And the student must become like the rabbi. And perhaps that's the most difficult for us to understand, is that that's what it really means to be rabbi, is I'm becoming like Jesus. And we have so many opportunities to fill our heads today and learn stuff. No more wisdom or at least learning has been available to us than today. So it's very easy for me to say, well, if I want to learn how to do something, I just go to YouTube. And so again, I want to learn how to get a spot out of clothing, go to YouTube. I want to learn how to cook chicken cacciatore, go to YouTube. I want to change the windshield wipers on my car, go to YouTube. I want to plant a tree in my backyard, never done that before, go to YouTube. And so you're so easy to say, well, I can learn all kinds of stuff. That's just easy. I just go, and on the fingertips of the internet, there it is. Well, let me ask you this. Can YouTube teach you how to love God? Can YouTube teach you about true wisdom? Can YouTube teach you about a hunger for the Bible or a hunger for prayer? And the answer is no. That's where it's limited, and here's why. Because YouTube and many forms of modern day teaching are going to hit the head, but they're not going to hit the heart. And Jesus is saying this: as a rabbi, I care about your head a lot. I care about what you think. But I also care about the transformation of you and your soul and your heart. And that's what I'm really after. And that's where Jesus is different. It's not enough just to know stuff about Jesus. And don't get me wrong, there are certain things you need to know about Jesus, but he's most interested in the transformation of you. And there's one thing I've noticed over the years, and it kind of tickles me. I notice that there are some kids, usually by the time they're kind of getting to their teen years, and you hear them speak and you say, "Oh, that is his father's voice," or "That's her mother's voice." And if you were in another room and you heard them speak, you would say, "Am I listening to dad or am I listening to son?" And it's their cadence, their voice intonation, the way they say words. I mean, it's like identical. And you're like, "Wow, how did this happen?" And here's how that happens. It happens because speech is mimicked. Speech is learned. It's imprinted by the course of many, many years and hearing many, many words together. And that is, you know, patterned onto somebody by the course of time and by the course of, again, this form of teaching that's ongoing. And Jesus is saying, that's what it's like with me, is you're going to learn my pattern. You're going to learn my speech. And that's what I want you to become like. And the highest compliment that somebody could pay you or me would be to say, "Wow, what you're saying sounds like what I've heard before. Maybe I've heard this in the Bible over here. I've heard this in a story. And I'm seeing that lived out on the inside of you." That would be the highest compliment that could be paid to you, is that you have somehow the speech of Jesus that is now your speech. And that's what God is going after. That's what Jesus is going after. Not just you know stuff, but that you're being transformed on the inner part of yourself. And by the way, that has to be a desire. It just doesn't, like, it's not like just staying on the easy couch. It's something that you're actively pursuing and you're wanting. You're diving in and you're saying, "Yes, I want to be that kind of a person." Philippians chapter 3 is one classic example. Paul, one of the best missionaries ever of the church, said this: "I want to know Christ." Is that you? He says, "I want to know Christ." Yes, to know the power of his resurrection. And here it is. Oh my, I'm not sure I want this. Participation in his sufferings. I want to know Christ and the participation even in his sufferings, to become like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. And he's saying that's what's got to stir on the inside of us. We want to know Christ at that level, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. We've got to be individuals who are even willing to say, "I'm experiencing a sort of death." And that death could be that you're paying a price for being a Christian, increasingly possible in today's day and age. Or maybe you're just learning how to cope and to deal with the many sufferings that happen to all of us during the course of life. But somehow, those are instrumental to you really knowing Christ and you really understanding the power of your resurrection. Friends, Jesus says, "I am Rabbi." We give him the title of Rabbi. And that's a very important word, because what it's saying to us is that Jesus is calling us, he's placing his yoke upon us, and he's literally making us like him. So here's my question for you today. Do you want that? Is that something that you really want? And I think there are four potential answers. I'm going to put those on the screen and explain those to you. Number one, and I'm going to guess there's a lot of people here today that are an eager yes. Yes, I want to have Jesus as Rabbi, and I want to have him have his way with me. I want him to change me. Without hesitation, I'm saying, "Yes, teach me, change me, regardless of cost, I want this." There's another group of people here today that are saying, "Ooh, I've got some reservations about that. I don't know. I think that there are some things that Jesus could ask me to do that would be very uncomfortable. There's some things that Jesus could ask of me that, well, he would be meddling in my life. I want Jesus to be Savior for me, but I'm not sure I want him to meddle in my life. And I want salvation, but I'm not sure I want transformation." That's a very dangerous position, by the way. But there are, if you're honest, there are some people here today that are saying, "I've got reservations. I'm not sure I can move forward." There are some people here today that are flat no. "I don't care for Jesus. I won't follow Jesus. I either don't think he's who he says he was, or that he has power to do what he says he does, or perhaps I like being charged too much. I'm not willing to give that up. So no, thank you. Jesus, you can have that, but I'll go my way and do my thing. And so there are some no's. And there are also some individuals today here that would might be a first time yes. First time you've really even considered that Jesus is saying, I'm a rabbi, and I wish you to enter into my world. I wish to transform you. I'm going to begin by forgiving you and removing the debt that you have to God for your sin. And then I'm going to come and I'm going to give you gifts like the Holy Spirit and wisdom and some level of transformation that's going to begin on the inside of you. And I'm going to change you to look like me. And there's some individuals here today that are saying, well, for the first time, I'm beginning to understand what this whole thing's about. And maybe I want that. I wonder what your response is today. Here's what I want you to know about Rabbi today. It's a whole life commitment to follow him. It's a change not of just your mind, but a change of your heart. And he calls us to follow him to literally become like him through his power for his purposes, but we're becoming transformed to be like Jesus. That's what's encompassed in this word, Rabbi. I don't know many teachers that I've had in my past that say that. Take my class so you can become like me. I would actually think they were rather arrogant if they said that. But that's exactly what Jesus says, and he has the authority, the power, I would even say the kindness to give that as the request he's offering. And he's saying, how will you respond to that? Lord, we honor Jesus today as rabbi, far more than just a teacher, but an individual who has the power to change. And Lord, we honor you today with that. We love you today for that. We ask that we would be individuals, whether it's the first time or the 100th time, to say yes to you. I want to pray, Lord, right now for the individuals that might be in that hesitation or reservation category. Lord, what is it that has to change on the inside? What hurdles have to be overcome in order for that to be a strident and full yes? I think that's the better life. And I'm asking, Lord, that you remove any obstacles that would keep us from that better life with you. Lord, thank you for your scriptures. Thank you for Jesus. We pray in his matchless and powerful name. And all God's people said, amen.